Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Off the Wall right here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Joe Auriemma. With me is Mark Polishuk of MLBTradeRumors.com. It's that time of year. You know it, everybody. The best time in baseball. Trade deadline coming up. And you know the Yankees are always in the mix. But for the first time, Mark, this might be a year where the Yankees might really not make some noise here. They might be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are in a pretty good shape right now, obviously. They're nine games ahead in the American League East. And just looking over their roster, they don't seem to have a whole lot of weaknesses, frankly. What weaknesses that they might have in the pitching staff could be helped by Andy Pettit coming back in September. And bench-wise, boy, like pretty much everybody on their bench has been producing well, so it's hard to see of any real kind of obvious glaring needs of where the Yankees could upgrade themselves.
So with that being said, just from what you're hearing and what you're seeing through your site, MLB Trade Rumors, what do you think the Yankees, if any moves will be made, what moves do you think they will make? What are you hearing about any Yankee rumors that might be out there?
Well, if they do make any kind of an ad, I would guess it would probably be for an outfielder. The news broke yesterday about Brett Gardner needing elbow surgery, and
right. There
is some thought that he might be back before the end of the season, but that's a bit of a long shot. So the Yankees will probably explore some outfield depth. I don't think it's going to be a big name of some of the outfielders who are available, because really, I mean, Raul Ibanez has played well, Andrew Jones has played well, and you have, like Dwayne Wise and Knicks as well, who have also hit pretty well. So overall, they have a lot of decent candidates for left. Probably the biggest name who the Yankees have been tied to outfield-wise is Shane Victorino. But even that's
right.
A case of where it's a bit up in the air that the Phillies would even trade him anyway, because the Phillies still think they're on the outskirts of a pennant race themselves, and they haven't quite thrown in the towel on 2012 quite yet. So I would suspect that the Yankees probably won't get a big name like a Victorino, but perhaps a smaller tier outfielder, a platoon type guy.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you another big name that, you know, we've kind of heard over the last couple of weeks has been Justin Upton. I know there's a lot of teams linked to Upton and a possible move that might bring, you know, an all-star young outfielder to their team. But the Yankees, looking at that situation, Upton's on a good contract. Swisher is in the last year of his deal. Is it really, is it a long shot that the Yankees would even be in on a guy like Justin Upton?
Oh, well, like, as you mentioned, a lot of teams are in on Justin Upton just for that reason. I mean, like, if you're a team, why wouldn't you be in on Upton? I mean,
right. Here's
a guy who was a first overall pick. He has all the talents in the world. And there have been some comparisons made, even though he's having a bit of a down year this season, and there seems to be some kind of an issue, I guess, between he and the higher-ups in Arizona. But the comparison that some have made is to Matt Kemp in 2010, of when he had his down year. People even thought that the Dodgers would sour on him.
Right.
And then he came back and made the adjustments and was all world in 2011. So there's very much a thought that a change of scenery could be what Upton needs. And, boy, you know, like it could be the Yankees. It could be, just name any team, essentially.
Right.
One of the teams I know who has been going hardest after Upton are, if you can believe it, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who I guess are going all in on this.
They're going for it, huh?
Oh, they're going for it. I mean, they want a playoff spot. They want that division title, or they just want a winning season, really. And
right. The
beauty of adding a Justin Upton, of course, is that he wouldn't just help you for this season, but a few years down the road, because he is locked up I believe through 2014 or 2015, I believe, to right. a pretty reasonable contract. And, you know, he's a guy who could be a franchise guy. I mean, he's only 24 years old. He could be a superstar for years to come.
And with that being said, why are the Diamondbacks so eager to trade a guy like Justin Upton when, you know, like you said, he is on a reasonable contract and that, you know, he could be a franchise-type player? So what is the rush to getting rid of a guy like Justin Upton on a team that really was in the, you know, in a good position last year?
Yeah, it's never been made totally apparent what exactly the issue is in Arizona. Like, I almost wonder if it's some behind the scenes thing that we don't know between the front office there. When Kevin Towers took over as GM a couple of years ago, there were also some trade rumors about Upton, like just in the sense of where Towers like sort of came in, thought a rebuild would take a bit longer with the Diamondbacks than it actually would. And perhaps it was just a case of him floating Upton's name out there just to see if what they could get for him.
Right.
Now, however, it seems as if there is some kind of a difference of opinion, or I'm not really sure of what it is. It seems like the Diamondbacks are indeed have soured on him for whatever reason. Now, Arizona is a team who is not really that far out of the playoff race themselves. And, of course, last year they won the NL West.
Right.
So if they made a trade for Upton, and of course he would like, and he would have a haul of both prospects and solid everyday players. So they could be thinking of maybe just bringing back a big trade haul and perhaps still making a run for it for a wild card slot at least this season, even if they do trade it.
You know, and you mentioned the wild card slots here. Looking at what you're seeing out there right now with all of these trade rumors, how has the second wild card, that spot in both leagues, really changed the landscape of the July 31st deadline, knowing that more teams are now in the hunt for a playoff spot?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there have been relatively few moves, I would say, up to this point, because, as you said, so many teams are still in it. I mean, I would say probably of every team in baseball, I would say maybe six or seven are really kind of are really out of it, I guess you would say, firmly. In the American League alone, just having a look at the standings here, every team except for Kansas City, Seattle, and Minnesota is within 3.5 games of a wild card slot.
That's
so, you know, I mean, the competition is huge. Now, that being said, though, the wild card slot is just one game. And, you know, like in a one-game coin flip situation, a lot of teams might think that, well, like, do we really want to mortgage our future just for the sake of getting to a one-game coin flip, or what happens? So for a team like, you know, like, say, the Toronto Blue Jays, for example, who are 3.5 back, they would have to leapfrog a number of other teams to get a wild card spot. Like, and especially, like I mentioned, the Blue Jays, but really Boston and Tampa and the Orioles are all on the same spot. Given how the Yankees have that first place spot in the AL East, you know, it's still early, but the Yankees do have a 9-game lead. So, like,
right.
if you're an AL East team and you want to make a big move, like, you have to realize, okay, well, like, we're sacrificing some of our future just for a shot at the postseason, essentially.
Okay, and everybody out there, we're here with Mark Polishuk of MLBTradeRumors.com. And buyers and sellers, I want to talk to you about a couple of teams that are in a pretty interesting position, starting with the other team here in New York, the New York Metropolitans. Are they buyers or sellers? And if they're buyers, what are they looking for?
Well, the Mets are a team, I think, who I would put in that, who I would put in the category that I just mentioned. You know, like the Mets, I think it's fair to say that nobody expected them to be as good as they are this season. And now they've sort of come to earth a little bit. They're only 2 games over 500, I believe 3.5 or 4 games out of a wild card spot in the National League.
Right.
And if you're Sandy Alderson and company, you have to wonder, well, like, how much of our, like, do we want to deal a top prospect, or do we want to sort of stand pat and kind of see if we can, you know, like, maybe just like, you know, like a 500 record, I think, would be a victory for the Mets this season. But that being said, you know, the Mets are a team who could use the good publicity of a pennant run. And, you know, like, so much has happened to this franchise over the last couple of years that, you know, like, being a bit of a Cinderella team, you know, like, certainly is nothing but good news as far as they go.
Right.
So if they do make any additions, I would say would be perhaps to deal a mid-level prospect, like nothing big or anything. But certainly some bullpen help. The Mets have been attached to a few pretty big name relievers. Jonathan Broxton in Kansas City is one who has been mentioned in connection with the Mets. So I could see them making a move for some bullpen help, some bullpen depth, perhaps a guy who actually is a closer like a Broxton, but I wouldn't count on seeing any really big deals out of Citi Field.
Now, looking at the teams in the American League East, the Baltimore Orioles, everybody has, you know, kind of said at some point they're going to come back down to earth, but they have just stayed in this thing through the entire season. The Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Rays all pretty much, you know, almost double-digit game back of the Yankees in the division, but really a half a game and just one game behind that final wild card spot. So those three teams in the American League East, are they going to be buyers and sellers, and what are they looking for?
Well, yeah, it's like I mentioned earlier about those American League East teams. Right now they're playing for the wild card.
Yeah.
The Yankees, for all intents and purposes, have heavy division in their hands, and unless they, you know, like, unless they pull a Boston from last year, I think you can say that the Yankees have the AL East in the bag. If you're a team like Tampa Bay, I could see them selling some pitching because, like, obviously Tampa Bay has had this great surplus of starting pitching both in the majors and in the minor leagues.
Right.
So I could see them moving perhaps even a fairly big pitching name. I know that James Shields is a name who has been shopped around a little bit in connection to a few different teams. And if you're Tampa Bay, I mean, their lineup has been hit by a lot of injuries, a lot of guys really underperforming. Of course, Evan Longoria's injury, they say he'll be back probably sometime in August, but he's already had one setback, and with a torn hamstring, that's one of those injuries that, you know, like, even if he comes back, he might still not be 100%. So I could certainly see Tampa Bay making a move for a hitter. The Rays have been very sort of adamant about keeping all of their young pitchers in the fold.
Right.
But, you know, like, given how, you know, like, as you mentioned, they are pretty close, and given how weak their lineup is, they may be forced to make a move. In terms of the Red Sox, I think they were kind of just waiting for everybody to finally sort of get back and get healthy. Because if you look at their lineup top to bottom, you know, like, here's another team who, on paper at least, theoretically doesn't have any holes. Now, of course, I say theoretically because, of course, if Carl Crawford, you know, like, we kind of keep expecting Carl Crawford to come back and be the old Crawford who we saw in Tampa Bay, but that
right.
hasn't happened yet. I'm not really sure what moves Boston could make aside from maybe some pitching help and some bullpen depth. Their team, I think, who, you know, like, they're a team, like, this has been mentioned by Ben Sherrington himself about how the Red Sox are sort of always all in. They really sort of can't afford to take a year and just say, all right, we're going to punt on 2012 and start planning ahead for 2013. When your payroll is the size of Boston's and you have to deal with that media, you really can't afford to wave a white flag in July.
Right.
So the Red Sox have been tied to a couple of the free agent pitchers who are on the trade markets. Matt Garza is a name who has been tied to Boston at some point, but it's still very much waiting game, I think, in some terms of seeing what Boston will do. And if you're Baltimore, well, Buster Olney from ESPN, he made an interesting statement a couple days ago. He mentioned that that the Orioles have a couple of different camps in their front office, and one camp wants to go for it because they are still in the race. They have played well so far, exceeding everybody's expectations. And just the fact, you know, that the team isn't so bad for so long that, you know, like, that they sort of owe it to the fans to go for it.
Right.
The other camp in the O's front office thinks just the opposite, that, well, like, perhaps the team has kind of been playing a bit over our heads. Baltimore's record over the last month or so is under 500, so definitely they're starting to come back to earth a little bit, and their pitching staff has just been decimated by injuries and guys who just aren't pitching very well right now. So if they do decide to make a move and go all in, it will be for bringing a couple of arms.
Now, a couple of pitchers that, you know, we're hearing rumors about, obviously, Cole Hamels. What's the latest on the Phillies ace? And also Ryan Dempster. You know, we heard about a possible move with the Dodgers, but that, you know, I don't know where that's at. But what are you hearing from those two pitchers, especially Hamels, who is a frontline ace?
Yes, the latest that we've heard on Hamels is that the Phillies still want to keep him, and what they're going to do is make him one big contract offer, and if he accepts it, great, then they lock him up, and he's a Philly for life, essentially. Or if he doesn't take it, then the Phillies would explore trading him before the deadline. The offer, I believe, is it's supposed to be 6 years in the neighborhood of $130 million. So
it's
one of the biggest.
It's a good neighborhood, yeah.
Given to a pitcher, yeah. Now, of course, like Hamels is such a frontline ace that if he did pass it up and did hit the free agents market this winter, you know, I think he would easily get a deal like that, if not even a larger deal on the open market.
Right.
The Phillies are a team, like, you know, like they've really been hit hard by injuries, and now that they finally have everyone back, it might still be a little too late for them to make a move. I can see them going maybe perhaps half all in, like say, like for example, if Hamels passes, I could see the Phillies trading him, not only for prospects, like probably they would make a move to deal him for players who could still help them in 2012.
Right.
Teams who have been tied to Hamels are the Angels and Rangers, especially. But really, like as you mentioned, like Hamels is a top tier ace who has been scouted at least by a number of teams. Detroit has scouted him. The Pirates, if you can believe it, have scouted him. And certainly a number of other teams would certainly jump into the markets if they found out that Cole Hamels was indeed available.
Right.
Now, in terms of Ryan Dempster, like you mentioned that L.A. And the Cubs were close to working something out. It seems as though that those talks are still ongoing. The Cubs have a couple pitchers on standby, I guess, right now in St. Louis, who are prepared to start tonight's game in Dempster's place in case a trade happens this afternoon. So like, things could be happening pretty quickly there. But yeah, it certainly seems that the Dodgers are the front runners for Dempster, but also teams like the Braves have been linked to him as well, and maybe even Washington as well.
Everybody, this is Mark Polishuk of MLBTradeRumors.com. Before we let you go, just tell us again for everybody out there, Mark, a little bit about your website. What you and Tim Derkus and the rest of the writers are doing there, Ben Nicholson-Smith and our own Mike Exisa from River Avenue Blues. You have a terrific staff, and it seems like you guys are on top of everything. You know, if it's so funny that you say, you know, if it's whispered, we hear it. It really is true. So tell us about your website.
Well, thank you. For the nice compliments, that's great to hear. This site was started by Tim in 2005, and essentially he just started it basically as a hobby, as a one-stop shop where a baseball fan could visit and sort of get a sense of every rumor that's going on. So, for example, you know, like instead of a fan having to go to Fox Sports and see what Ken Rosenthal thinks and then surf over to the Yes website and see what Jack Curry thinks or someone, you could just go to MLB Trade Rumors and get everything pertinent, all kind of in one easy-to-follow sort of format.
Right.
And since 2005, the site has just grown and blossomed, and Tim has added all of us. I think our staff is up to, geez, I don't even know now. I think it's about to 9 or 10 people now.
Wow.
In the days leading up to the trade deadline, we will literally have 24/7 coverage. So if something breaks at 4 in the morning, something will be on our site by 4:01. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And like I said, you guys do a great job. If you're a baseball fan out there, you need to check this site out every day to see what's going on. And it's not just the MLB trade deadline. You got to remember that August also, that's also a deadline. And then once the offseason comes, you guys are on top of everything. So, Mark, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. And really, you're going to need it because it looks like this might be a crazy, crazy trade deadline.
Well, thanks a lot, Joe. I'm looking forward to it. The crazier, the better.
All right. Keep coming back to YesNetwork.com, everybody, for all of your Yankees needs this season. For our guest, Mark Polishuk of MLBTradeRumors.com, I'm Joe Auriemma saying we'll see you next time on Off the Wall.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.